Amen. One more time. He's here. If he's here, worship him. That's the reason he has come. Amen.
He's here.
Touch him. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. What a revelation that is to know that he is here. Amen. I'm in the book of Kings. They were in a time of great conflict. The enemy was coming all around them. So many were scared and terrified. When the prophet's servant saw so much Syrians, he just lost all his faith. But the prophet knew he was there. He was calm, he was settled. He could touch him. He knew that one who led that prophet was right there. He hadn't gone off the scene, though the prophet was taken up. He knew that one was still there. Do you know that same one is here tonight? Amen. By divine revelation, his presence is not unrecognized to you. You know he's here. He's giving you a channel to communicate with him. He's giving you access into his great presence. It does something for the believer when we know we can go beyond that veil and touch him. That's what matters. Touching Jesus is all that matters. You can touch him tonight, friend. Not only touch him, but you can receive what you have need of. So many was touching him when he's going through Jericho that time. He said, "Somebody touch me." Peter said, "Lord, how could you say that? There's so much people touching you." And Peter even rebuked him. He says, "No, but this one is different." Somebody was touching him with faith. You can touch him with faith tonight. Do you believe that? Amen. Then you will never be the same. Amen. That woman, she had spent all that she had on those physicians. But she got a revelation. He was passing by. Amen. Not only did she have a revelation, but she acted upon a revelation. How many know he's here tonight? How many is willing to act upon that faith that you know that he's here? Amen. Well, then something good is going to happen to you. Something good always happens when he comes in the midst. It changed Zacchaeus' life. He knew he was passing by. He wanted to see him. How many remember the story in the Bible? He climbed up a tree. Amen. He was hiding in that tree, looking at the other tree. Amen. The real tree that was back in the Garden of Eden. You don't hide up in that tree tonight. Amen. He's trying to camouflage himself with all the leaves. You know, his ancestors did that too. You know that? They broke them leaves off of the fig tree and they covered up themselves and they hid among the other trees. And they thought, well, he's just going to think it's just two other trees. And he won't notice them because they were so camouflaged with the leaves. But something happened. Amen. The same voice that called Zacchaeus out of that tree. When he's walking in the Garden of Eden, he says, "Hast thou eaten from that tree, Adam? Why are you hiding?" Amen. Amen. We cannot hide from him tonight. He says, "Zacchaeus, come down." Amen. But that was good. He had a desire to see him. And if you have a desire to see him, he'll make himself known to you tonight. You believe that? Amen. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. Prayer requested first, Sister Mandra Andrews, a little daughter. A Shalom who fell and had a hand broken. My brother Alan requests prayer for his friend, Mr. Peter Mitchell, who's suffering with an eye infection. He's also in the service tonight. Amen. So I trust he's already been encouraged to believe, to reach out. The blind Bartimaeus stood the end. Where he was, he can touch him. But you see, it's not just a physical touch. When he recognized he was passing by, he began to scream, "Oh Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Let me say this tonight. If he acted that way, when a man recognized his presence, when a man had faith to believe upon him, when a man became desperate because he had a need, if he acted that way to that man, he's obligated to act that way to everyone that will believe him upon the same condition. Do you believe he's the same yesterday and forever? Amen. Well, then he is obligated to do it. And I believe he will do it. He always responds to true faith. One time in the Bible, he was trying to remove that roof. They couldn't get through the doors. We still have some room in the back tonight. Anyone can come through that door. And we'll have a nice, comfortable seat. And they busted up that roof and they was letting their friend down. And it looked like a disturbance to the service. And some might be expecting them people to get a real stinging rebuke. But he just looked up there, and the Bible said, when he saw their faith. Could he see your faith tonight? Could he really look in your heart and see your faith? Let me say something else. Your works expresses what faith you have. Your attitude displays the kind of faith that you have in him tonight. Amen. That is the one we serve tonight. I'm so glad for that. Let us bow our heads and pray. You have a special request. I want to invite you to believe. Would you pray for these requests? Almighty God, with bowed hearts, we stand in your presence tonight. We are grateful. We are so appreciative. Because we realize that to stand here, it could have never been upon any merits we might have, but solely upon the merits of that sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. To know that he was the one who was sent to be the propitiation for our sins. That way that was shut up might be opened. We might have access to come back into the presence of the living God. Knowing that it was impossible for man to approach that holy presence without blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But when that lamb was provided, a way was made. And Father, we have recognized that tonight, and we hasten to come into your presence. Dear God, we've come believing, even expecting tonight that you will do great and marvelous things in our midst. For dear God, we know that you are the same yesterday and today and forever. And it's no different to be gathered in your presence tonight than it was when you was in Galilee that time when you fed 5,000 with the loaves of bread. That when you was in Nazareth and you did those great mighty works. When you walked upon the face of the earth and everywhere you went, you was doing good. The sick was healed, the dead was raised, the blind eyes opened. Even as you told John's disciples, go back and tell John, what do you see? And Father, knowing that you are the same tonight, and that it was the faith that you responded to in the hearts of the people, and these have raised their hands tonight, indicating that they have recognized your presence, because you said in your word, where two or three is gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. And oh God, you have given your children, the believers, a super sense. Oh God, whereby they can contact you tonight. Something in their heart that moves, that tell them you are near. Hallelujah. And God, as they have come tonight believing, and we have some needs in our midst. God, we have read these needs tonight. Little Shalom, who is suffering a broken hand. Lord, Brother Alan's friend with that eye infection. Many others here tonight, no doubt, believing, looking unto you that you might be gracious unto them. And they might find favor in your sight tonight as they come, placing their faith in that finished work. And knowing their God, you said, when we stand praying, whatsoever we ask the Father in your name, he will grant it unto us. We believe that tonight, Father. And I pray, dear God, that as you would look down in this audience and you would see the faith in the hearts of the people, Lord, you would respond to that faith tonight. The same way you look and you saw those men placing the friend down through that roof. The same way that woman touched you, oh God. Father, you felt a different touch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You said, daughter, our faith have saved thee. Go in peace. Hallelujah. Lord, I've confessed here in the midst of these people that you are still the same. And that you will respond to the same kind of faith every time. Oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit, Lord, give back the witness. Give back the confirmation in the heart of the people that is believing, that is expressing and releasing their faith which you have given them tonight to believe your divine promise. May they receive it, Father. May they leave this place, oh God, with that deep, satisfied feeling. Oh God, with that blessed assurance. Hallelujah! To know that you care for your word, if they care to believe you, if they care to believe the promise that you have made, if they care to express their faith tonight, knowing that God is impossible for you to lie, then you care to confirm your word in the hearts of your children. So dear God, let it be so tonight. I pray and ask it for your honor and for your glory and for the assistance of thy people. And now, Heavenly Father, I pray that you will lead us and direct us in the things that we speak tonight. That you place upon my heart to speak to your people. God, may you send such an anointing upon this audience. Put every heart and mind in that channel where we can hear by the Holy Spirit. And may the great Spirit of truth that you said will come and lead us and guide us into all truth move on the scene and take the bread of life and break it. As you did in Emmaus that time. And when the disciples' eyes were opened, oh God, let their eyes be opened. Hallelujah. As they eat from this tree, as they look in the seed of that tree to be desired to make one live. Granted, Lord, may they reach for thy faith and take and eat. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you and praise you. Father, you know in our hearts how we love and appreciate you, even appreciating this time. That we could come and sit in our presence tonight, sitting at your feet to receive the truth from your mouth. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then, Father, let your word proceed forth from thy mouth. And may we receive it and may we live by it. And may in our living we bring glory and praise to your name to show to this dying world that you are not dead, but you are still alive. Oh, God, may you grant it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask these mercies and blessings. Amen and amen. God, would you bless you? I'd like to invite your attention tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians. Also find Galatians 1. We're going to read from Galatians 1 first. Praise his wonderful name. Just been happy to be here in his presence tonight. And may he just have the preeminences in this service. You just believe and pray in your heart. Say, Lord, speak to me. There's a commemoration day for us. Remembering what God did, great things he had done in our midst. Amen. We certainly give him thanks for his continuing grace, abiding presence. His divine leadership down through these years. Galatians 1, verse 6, Paul writing to the Galatian church in that first age, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, earthly angels or heavenly angels, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said there before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. 2 Corinthians 11. What a blessed thing to know that God spoke to you. They were certain and they were just trying to emphasize that what they brought was the word of God from God. Amen. Many times people bring things, many times people say things and they hope it's right. They hope God backs it up. They hope it turns out to be right. But they were not speaking in that kind of attitude. They said, if an angel come from heaven and preach any other gospel, if we come back around and bring a second revelation after what we already brought, he said, even let us be accursed also. Amen. Would to you that you know you believe the truth. Yes. Now you could say, if I believe any other thing after this, what I believe, let me be accursed. Amen. Now you would say, may I never depart from his revealed truth that he has spoken to my heart and vindicated by the Holy Spirit. No matter what thought I get tomorrow, no matter what dream I get next year, no matter what angel come to me, no matter what some person try to persuade me into, if I know God has spoken to me, I shall not be moved. If God have proven that to be his word, God does not change his mind about his word. God cannot learn nothing. God cannot. He's infinite. He knows all. He's omniscient. What can he learn? What he says to begin with is perfect. He cannot add to his knowledge. 2 Corinthians 11. Here's Paul speaking again, this time to the Corinthian church in that first age. So we get a little idea of what was happening and prevailing in that first age, as we see it among the different churches. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Watch the language, watch the terminology. It's important for us to observe that tonight. Espouse, one husband, virgin, Christ. See? He's telling the church, I have espoused you. In other words, betrothed you, engaged you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin, that you'll be undefiled. Some other man wouldn't know you before your husband marry you. Amen. You wouldn't get yourself in adultery. See? But I fear you had reservations because of the behavior. They were flirting. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguile you. He finds an illustration. He finds an example in the Bible to prove his point. To back up what he's trying to tell him. Amen. He found a woman who got into adultery after she was espoused to her husband. Before her husband came to knew her, she got defiled. And he's telling her, don't be like that woman back there. Amen? He said, but I fear as lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So, he's making a contrast, comparison rather. So, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. That's according to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Amen. Let us pray one more time. Father, as we wait upon thee now, knowing that any man could read the word that might be literate and went to school, learned to read letters, but unfold the divine revelation contained in this word. No man, no matter how educated and learned he is, can reveal it. For even one time you pray to say, even so, Father, I thank thee because thou hast hid it from the wise and the prudent and revealed it unto babes. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it, he told Simon Peter that day, but my Father which is in heaven. So realizing no flesh and blood could reveal it, realizing you're hidden from the wise and the prudent, but you said the Spirit of truth would come and lead us into all truth. We await him tonight to direct our thoughts into the word, to quicken and make real and apply this word to our hearts in such a way that it will not just be some historical thing looking back 2,000 years ago or even 6,000 years ago, but Lord, it will be something in the present tense that would focus our attention to the will and purpose of God that has been revealed to us in this hour. That we might know how to live, Lord. Not just come to church, not just keep a religious profession, not just go through the motions. Millions of people are doing that and is blind and deceived. You said in the last days they will have a form of godliness and even deny the power thereof. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But Lord, we pray that you would teach us and open our understanding, we might live by revelation. Grant it, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name and for your sake. Amen. God bless you. You may receive. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. So we want to welcome all of you in the house of God tonight, all the strangers and visitors and all that is here by God's grace. I want to announce you we'll have a baptismal service on Sunday morning after service. A few people would like to be baptized, and if you have not been baptized, and or you may have had a denominational baptism, you don't know that that is unscriptural, and God only recognizes his word, because he says, let every man word be a lie, and God will be the truth. It's not that you wasn't sincere, maybe when you went to get baptized the first time, but it's just that maybe you were taught wrong by people you expected to know the truth. So maybe God help you tonight that you might even see from his word what the truth is, because the only thing God is going to accept is his very own word. Amen? You know, some people sprinkle people and tell them to baptize. Some people pour water and people tell them to baptize. Some people baptize in titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and tell them to baptize. And you know, some people baptize them three times forward and three times backwards and all sort of things. Some people baptize them in Jesus' name. Some people... But we find out there's only one way that anybody was ever baptized in this Bible from Genesis to Revelation was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Whatsoever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby a man could be saved. See, sometimes people don't realize the importance of that because their family in heaven and earth is named after the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, you know, to be defensive, some people say, well, I'd rather, you know, take what Jesus says. I'm not going to take what Peter says or Paul says or one of them says. Well, that's just being carnal because those men's words became the Bible. And if this Bible has a contradiction or an error in it, then it don't even what the paper is written on.
Amen.
How would we be able to place faith that this is the Word of God? If it is wrong, if it is a mistake somewhere, but we find out that the very Spirit of Truth, which is Jesus Christ Himself, when He came back into these men, God who was with them was now in them, then they went forth and baptize those people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So sometimes, you know, we need to re-examine these things, and you see in the Bible where even in Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul, he admit these people who was baptized by John the Baptist. And I could imagine what an honor it was. John wasn't the only one baptizing people, I guess, in those days, because even afterwards Jesus' disciples was baptizing and a lot of things is going on, and you know, a lot of people was joining the ranks of Christianity and coming out of all those denominations of that day. It was a great exodus taking place. People was leaving the Sadducees, people was leaving the Pharisees, people was leaving the Sanhedrin Council, people was leaving many of these great established denominations that the mother went to, that the grandmother went to, that the great-grandmother went to. And people in that hour was coming up to believe that God had sent a prophet to the spirit of Elijah. And when they had seen that John came and fulfilled the scriptures, and I guess they might have been challenged, some of them. You know how sometimes you bring something new that somebody have never heard or somebody never been taught before, and they challenge you right in the word because they have a right to?
Amen.
Nothing's wrong. They challenge you have a right to, because after all, nobody is going to jump and say this is in the Bible and quote the scripture and tell somebody they have to do that. You better make that run from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
Amen. Because anybody, Satan was the first one quoting the scripture. Is that right?
Yes.
So you don't just go for somebody just quoting the Bible. Anybody can quote the Bible. Satan tells Jesus, it is written. But Jesus says, it's also written.
Amen.
We find out, I can imagine they might have come against them disciples and say, show me where John's name is written in the Bible. Boy, and they might have a good point. You see, if that was the if you were supposed to see a man named John the Baptist in the Old Testament, if that is the way you were supposed to see it, then that would be a good point.
Amen.
But then I guess maybe because they were taught a certain way, they thought it was a good point. But the scripture says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And behold, I send my messenger before my face. Amen. And when Jesus come, he wasn't ashamed of the word. Amen. He said, what went you out to see?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
How many remember reading that in the Bible?
Yes.
Matthew 11.
Right.
He said, reed shaken with the wind. Somebody's a Baptist, and it's a Mormon, it's a Methodist, next to it is a Pentecostal, next to it is a Jehovah's Witness, next to it is a dropout, next to it is a backslide, next to it in the world, next to give it up, next to it they want to come back.
Yes.
He said, one who wear fine raiment? You know, so much of Hollywood coming to the church today, everything's a three-piece suit, everything is a Cadillac. Everything is, you know, diamonds and everything to glitter there and put on some showmanship for the people and entertainment and these things. Jesus says, not that. He had a lot of that in his day too. When them caravans was coming through and Jerusalem was the center of the world here, boy, I tell you, people was dressing the latest. But Jesus said, John, you didn't go to see that. You're a man in fine raiment. Amen. He said, but I tell you what you went to see. A prophet. And more than a prophet.
Amen.
Amen. You remember that in the Bible?
Yes, sir.
And then he said, this is he of whom is spoken. Behold, I send my messenger before my face.
Amen.
And he quoted this scripture in Malachi 3, verse 1. And he quoted that and says, that's that man.
Amen.
Also in Matthew 17, one time. You know, his own disciples, boy, they was out denomination, and I guess they used to fight them denominational spirits whenever they meet them. You know, some people just on train, you know, and they go out and be a wrong representative sometimes. They have a little spirit of fight, so they want to use the word for the wrong purpose. You know, one time Jesus had his own disciples. They was elect of God. They were predestined before the foundation of the world. He says, all of the Father that give me will come. He said, haven't I chosen you 12? Is that right? They were chosen by him. And then he turned around and rebuked them chosen predestined people. Because one time he went in a place and they wouldn't receive Jesus and they wouldn't accept the message of the hour and they wanted to throw him out and then they said, Lord, call on fire and burn up this place. Teach them to reject a prophet of God. Teach them to reject the truth for the hour. Boy, and he looked at them and said, you know what spirit you are? Amen. He said, the Son of Man didn't come to destroy, the Son of Man came to save. You see, even he had to make sure he teaches his own people right before he sent them out, because they had the truth, but they could be a stumbling block to people who want to receive the truth. So he had to teach them how to present the truth. Because if they have truth and they don't have love, they're going to get in a lot of problems. Amen. And then we find out that, you know, they went out and, you know, they was challenged by the Pharisees. Because sometimes you meet a denominational person, and though you might tell you the truth, they may ask you something about a scripture in the Bible, and you may not know it. That don't mean you're wrong and what you believe wrong. It just you need to be more perfectly taught. And that's why it's not just running and being full of zeal without knowledge. You have to have knowledge too with your zeal. Amen. Amen. Amen? So they went and the disciples said, if that man is the Messiah, where is Elijah? Boy, that stopped them. They didn't know what to do. Amen. Yeah, them denominational people had them tied up this time. And they was claiming the lead denomination. They are more light than the denomination. And they believe in this prophet message. And they come out and having a good time. And then they come back to the meeting. They're all kind of gloomy and sad. And they sit down there. And now there's kind of you checking Jesus out. Amen. Could you imagine that? Yeah. See? And he looked at them and he discerned the spirit right away. And he says, they ask him, he says, I think we should have some questions and answers tonight. Oh my, that he hit the spot right there because one of them jumped and said, Lord, I have a question. He says, how come the scribes say last must first come?
Yes. Amen.
If you is the Messiah. Not that we disbelieve in that you are the Messiah, Lord, but after all the scripture really say the voice will come to prepare the way for the Messiah.
Yes.
You see that scripture was always a little confusing, you know. Amen. Remember one time in the Bible? They came and they says, art thou Elias? Art thou that prophet? Art thou the Christ? And they came to John. And it was so strange. Instead of answering him yes or no or kind of clay up, he even threw in a further scripture. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. What was happening? It seemed kind of confusing, you see. And so it is. They themselves didn't have the light, and the denominational people didn't have the light. And when they asked the disciples a question, they couldn't answer it, and they come back to Jesus, and Jesus says, He says, Elias has already come. You can imagine the answer, how it shocked them. Well, then, if he come, where was it fulfilled? I mean, could the whole church world miss the coming of that prophet?
Amen.
Could them godly men, them learned people who spent all them years in that seminary, them devoted, dedicated preachers, and them loyal, godly people in that denomination, could they miss that? Well, either Jesus was wrong or they did miss it.
Amen.
Was Jesus wrong?
No.
Did they miss it?
Amen.
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 So it's possible. sit, when they sit before them.
Yeah,
that ain't strange.
No, sir.
Should that be strange today?
No.
You see, I want you to see, we're not just having church. We don't have a little group different to the denomination. We are following a message in these last days.
Amen.
I want you to understand that. God have come on the scene because it was promised in the word he would come on the scene.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And the scriptures have prophesy how he would reveal himself in that day. Now, why did they miss him back there? They wasn't looking for a prophet. What was the problem? They said, well, we probably don't have a prophet to come out of Galilee. He had a prophet to come out of Nazareth, and they debated over it. You know, they also debated the baptism of that prophet. Jesus asked them, is John baptism of man or of God? Amen.
Amen!
But put them in a situation, they couldn't answer it. Because the Bible said the people believed John was a prophet.
Yes.
Though they wouldn't preach it in the organization.
Yes, sir.
See? There's nothing strange. These things are normal. But we look in the Word and we see it. And we understand what God is doing. See? And we know that's a promise for this day.
Yeah.
Could you imagine what it was in that day when they had recognized that man was fulfilling the scriptures? They wasn't just following a man. They didn't just want to be funny to leave the organization and come out and you know, cut all ties with the system. They realized the system had made the word of God of no effect.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Did Jesus say it?
Amen.
He said, you with your traditions have made the word of God of no effect.
Amen.
The people, in other words, was not looking for nothing.
Amen.
They didn't know what age they was living in. They didn't know what was promised. They didn't recognize their hour. They couldn't see the scripture being fulfilled. They had all the programs. They had their bazaars. They had the different tea parties. They had a different, you know, feeding the poor. They had a different, you know, programs, church programs that they had. The preachers loved to make the long prayers. They loved to do, you know, take the uppermost seat in the synagogue. They had the council. They all came together. They joined up with the Roman system and everything to reject the word in that day. Is that right?
Amen. That's right.
But then why was it written like that in the Bible for? It was necessary that we could see the last days.
Amen.
When that same thing is repeating again, how many know it just promised to repeat in the last days?
Amen.
Now many people don't know that. But you know Revelation 10, St. Luke 17, 30, even thus shall it be in that day when the Son of Man is revealed. Jesus spoke that was going to come back.
Yes, sir.
You know for 2,000 years, didn't have a day like this day? That Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, as in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen.
When all them homosexuals and all this perversion of flesh was going to come back.
Amen.
Do you know that's a prophecy of the end time?
Amen. That's right.
How many know Jesus also gave another day as an end time sign? As it was in the days of who, Jeremiah? Did he say that? As it was in the days of Amos. As it was in the days of Noah. Did he say that?
Amen.
As it was in the days of Noah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if it's like in the days of Noah, then expect a man like Noah again.
Amen.
Expect a man to whom the word of God could come to.
Amen.
Expect a man to stand there with the truth and call the people out of the systems into the ark.
Amen.
How many know the ark was safer than any denomination over there for hundreds of years?
Amen.
How many know the ark was God provided way?
Amen.
How many know it was the only provided way?
Amen.
How many know
know it took a prophet to reveal that.
You know, sometimes people get a little spooked and they get disturbed when they hear about a prophet. That shouldn't disturb nobody.
That is always a blessing in the Bible.
Amen.
An open vision could come back. You could hear somebody say, "Thus saith the Lord." The word comes from the prophet.
Amen.
God does nothing except reveal his secrets to his servant, the prophets.
Amen.
Amos 3:7. No, a lot of people would like a group of people, a group of men to have the truth. How many know God always had groups of men in the Bible? And he always showed that it was wrong.
Amen. Yes.
Caiaphas had his group. Zedekiah had his group. Jezebel had a prophet.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Anytime Elisha had the whole school there. But God only did it with one man.
Amen.
Does the Bible promise us in the last days?
Amen.
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he or they. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he or them. In the days of Noah, was he or them?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Amen.
That's why we should be a student of the word. That's why we should search the scriptures to see whether these things be so or not.
Amen.
And when you recognize that these things are so, it anchor you.
Amen.
Well, look at our scripture here tonight. How these men who was coming on, there was a church coming on behind John and Jesus. Preaching in that day. That Elijah had come. That the Son of Man was revealed. Look how strong they was making it now. They recognized that that was the divine order through which the word for that age was revealed. And they had no authority. They had no message. They could offer the people nothing outside what God had done in that day. Many people read the Bible and fail to realize that Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, all these was churches.
Right.
Not denominations.
Right.
It still had Sadducees. It still had Pharisees. Because everywhere they went, you saw the Jews opposed them. Is that right?
Amen.
You saw the Jews persecute them. Why? Because these churches were little churches in houses. In barns. Little groups of people who had recognized the word vindicated in their day and they had come out of it. Amen. Glory.
Hallelujah.
And they came out of those systems and they were confessing their faith in what God had done.
Amen.
They were reproached, but they knew that that came from God.
Amen.
And they could not be moved.
Amen.
And some of them died for the faith.
Amen.
They will not denounce that John the Baptist was not Elijah.
Amen. Amen.
They knew the spirit of Elijah was upon him.
Amen.
How many knew God used the spirit of Elijah more than once?
Amen.
How many knew he used more than twice?
Amen.
Some people only see Elijah and Elisha. But it was on John the Baptist also.
Amen.
He will go, Luke 1:17, he will go forth in the spirit and power of Elias.
Amen.
How many were supposed to come back a fourth time?
Amen.
And then a fifth time.
Amen.
Some people confuse the fourth time with the fifth time. This is what Malachi 4:5 is Moses and Elijah. That's to come over there for the Jews. But notice when he's coming to the Jews in Revelation 11, it's two of them.
Amen.
Together.
Amen.
But Malachi 4:5 is one man.
Amen.
He. He said, what have to do with serving God? That have everything to do with serving God.
Amen.
Because if you didn't know what age you was living and what God was doing in your age, you are not serving God.
Amen.
Serving God is knowing the age you're living in, what God promised that age, recognize it taking place in your own life, being part of that present tense world is serving God.
Amen. That's right.
He said, give me some Bible. Jesus tell them Pharisees, he said, you speak of Moses. He said, some of you even talk about John. He said, John came. And he's a bright and shining lamp. He said, my witness is greater than John. So the scriptures testify who I am. He said, you see, I'm Moses' disciple, and Moses spoke of me.
Yes.
He said, Abraham is our father. He said, before Abraham was, I am.
Yes.
If you know Abraham, you rejoice to see my day.
Yes.
They was continually looking back to something God did in a past age.
Yes.
Abraham and Moses. And Jesus said, yes, you're praising them prophets, but you and your fathers kill every one of them.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
He said, no, they garnish the tombs of the prophets. They couldn't accept the present tense word. And here's a little prostitute with five husbands living an immoral life. And she stood up there by that well and she sees a man in a day full of racial tension and discrimination. And he began to speak to her when she's alone by that well. And he says, woman, he says, give me something to drink. And the first thing struck her mind was the racial spirit that was dominating the place. Say, you're the Jew talking to me, a Samaritan? Well, he didn't care what race she was.
Amen.
She was a seed of God.
Amen.
He was looking at the flesh, looking at the soul.
Amen.
You don't even believe God with your flesh anyhow. You believe with your soul.
Amen.
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 So he looked at and he says, give me the drink. He says, well, the well is deep and I'm not to draw. And then he began to tell her, he said, I can give you water, you'll never thirst again. And she looked at him and she kind of observed him and said, what kind of strange talk is this? But there's something that about the word, it gets to you.
Yes.
It's something about the word that comes to you in the season when you're hungry in faith.
Amen.
Oh, how many want a closer walk tonight with God? That word comes to you just when you need it. I just to talk to you. I'm breaking my message just now, but maybe I'm saying to somebody.
Yeah.
I need to help some of these young ones here. So they've been to talk and have conversation. She was seeing a man. He was seeing a woman there, and they were just like in the humanistic realm at first, and he wanted to contact a spirit. He said, how do you know? Well, watch where he begin to go afterwards. And she said, well, are you greater than Jacob who dig this well here? And then he says, you have five husbands. But she didn't say, I find it getting too personal. No. He said, you have five husbands, and the one that you have living with right now is not yours. Oh my, I tell you. When he said, you have five, and he put in the past tense, she might be kind of glad and say, like he ain't about the present one. I hope he can call out that one. Maybe he might know that one. Maybe somebody might tell him about the past because I have this person with things so cough up. And he said, even the one right now is not your husband. Is that right?
Yeah.
And something struck her and she broke into a realm that she was not in before. Because before she was seeing a Jew.
Yes.
She says, sir, I perceive you as a prophet.
Amen.
She saw a gift went into operation that knew the secret of her heart.
Amen.
And it took more than the sight to recognize that now. It took representation to acknowledge that.
Amen.
Because now you went beyond a flesh. You went into a spirit. You went into the kind of spirit that was upon her, the kind of life she was living. He had went to the thirst down in her soul. He said, I'll give you water, you will never thirst again.
And he wasn't talking about the water in the well now. He was talking about another water.
Amen.
For that thirst.
Amen.
You believe he have the water for that thirst still?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Sometimes them thirst get perverted.
Amen.
And you try to satisfy that holy thirst with things of the world. You try this and you try some pleasure and you try some gambling and you try some thing and you try smoking and you try this and you try some religion and you try a lot of different things and it just don't seem to work. If there's a real genuine thirst of God there, let me tell you, the only one can satisfy it, and he, if he put it there, he's going to come and fill it. And while you've been to speak to that woman right there and she saw that was a prophet talking, he says, "So I know when Messiah come, he will do these things."
Yes.
And he looked at her and said, "I that speak to you." He knew she could have taken it.
Yes.
Let me tell you, he knew she could have taken it.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Because she was in the realm now,
yes, sir,
where revelation had already gripped her soul.
And
she had been renewed in the spirit of her mind. And it had one more pull. The first pull contacted the flesh. The second pull went to the spirit. And the third pull went to the soul. And she had seen a Jew. Then she had seen a prophet. And he knew that she was going to see more than a prophet.
Yeah.
Amen! Hallelujah! He said, "I don't speak to you, and she was no denominational hybrid. She might have been immoral in her body, but she was pure down in her heart. She had something to recognize the word happening in the present tense. Amen. When all them scribes and Pharisees and learned doctors and lawyers was calling it Beelzebub and the devil, she said, "Sir, I believe that thou art the Christ that is coming to the world." And she threw the old pot and she ran and she said, "Come and see. Isn't this the Messiah?" Amen. Let me tell you, when it strikes your heart, you cannot help but run and tell somebody, "Come and see. Isn't this the Messiah? Not I see a Jew, not I see a prophet. Isn't this the Messiah?" Brother, you ain't coming to follow no Jew, you ain't coming to follow no prophet, you ain't coming to follow no Kentuckian, you're following the pillar of fire, you're following the Logos, Almighty God Himself, who has come back in this hour. That the church is living under the leadership of Jehovah, just like there was in the first Exodus, just like there was in the second Exodus. He has come back in the third Exodus, and this time we are going out. Amen. And she could recognize it right there in simplicity. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And you young ones, don't never forget it. This is a message. And you new ones, don't never forget this. You ain't just coming to join the next denomination. You ain't coming to join a little better church than the Pentecostal or something. You must recognize what the message is saying.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You have to recognize what His Spirit that has come among His people is revealing.
Amen.
You see what you mean? Because the Bible said the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And when that revelation begins to unfold, it will be a total secret. It is only for the Father's spiritual genes. It's only for the bride. Only for the elected ones. The world will not see me, Jesus said, but you shall see me. Amen. They could have gone in Galilee and seen me before. They could have gone in Bethesda. They could have seen and say, "Never man spake like this man." They could have said, "We have seen great things. We have never saw it done in that fashion." But that time was to be no more. Because he was going to come in another form.
Amen.
He said, "The world will not see me, or you will see me." Then how would we see him? You will look for him in the fulfillment of his prophesied promises.
Amen. That's right.
That's why when he was fulfilling his prophesied promise in Joel 2, Peter could say, "This is that which Joel spake." Amen. Amen. The world said, "These men are drunk. But that was the same Jesus coming back among his people. Hallelujah! Fulfilling his word that was promised. He had made it available for them in that hour. Glory! And they who were receiving it, who was experiencing it, who was part of it, who recognized it spoken in the Bible, then recognized the event, then see it happening in their own lives, they were the only ones that were serving God.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
What about the Ethiopian eunuch? He had just come from Jerusalem. It was just around the feast. He had traveled all the way from Ethiopia. He had gone to do business with the Queen of Candace. Amen. He had dropped in there as his custom was. And being a diplomat of a foreign power, amen, that had great influence in the earth at that time, that had connections with Jerusalem through the Queen of Sheba. Amen. Amen. Boy, he was with the hierarchy. And he went there, and he came back, and he was traveling in his maybe his Maxima or his Mercedes Benz or whatever it was. In that day, going through the desert, brother. See, with all his people with him and everything. And while he was journeying back home, a man had a Holy Ghost revival taking place in Samaria.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Look how God swing back for people. One woman had went out, come out there, a prostitute. Would God start with a prostitute and say if the first one is a prostitute in a whole religious place?
Amen.
He did it before?
Amen.
The better class of people might not like that, but God got more glory.
Amen.
Because what the churches couldn't do for that woman, God could have do for her.
Amen.
And when that woman was despised and put down, God was showing she was just a lily in the mud. Amen.
Amen.
And this man was having a Holy Ghost revival. People were getting saved left and right. Even the village Obia man, Simon the sorcerer, come up to the meeting, claim to get saved, come up to the altar, had hands laid on him and prayer and everything else. Was moving around with the minister too? He was a Philip everywhere. He was a holy lady. Big people like, they like the uppermost places. So boy, he was a Philip everywhere. Philip was going. You know what happened afterwards? The Holy Ghost seeing that man going back by himself. This foreign diplomat.
Yes, sir.
Gonna take this man up and say, leave this revival. You can imagine the kind of prisoner he was.
Yes.
He wasn't doing it for show. He wasn't trying to get some glory out of being used by God and working signs and wonders among the people, waking up in the public eye. He wasn't trying to hug the limelight. He said, leave it, Lord, to go for one man, sure. He leave the whole thing and take off for one man.
Amen.
Today, everybody want the big revival. Everybody want to be the big preacher with prayer lines long as ever, praying for the sick, everything, the papers, in the limelight. See? They want to see all that. But look what was back in the Bible. God get a ticket to preach and leave the whole revival and go for one man in the desert.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir. He didn't call it the devil. He went out there, he saw the man, and he said, understand us what thou readest. I mean, the man had education. We didn't ask him if he could read. He said, understand this, what the read is.
Amen. Amen.
And God attracted the man to Isaiah 53. And the man was wrestling himself. Because he had just maybe come from the Passover. And one of them great priests got up there maybe that day and preached that scripture. And maybe put at some historical thing in Isaiah life or something. But something might have struck that man and tell him that. I don't think the Bible saying that. He says, I mean, after all, I respect the man's opinion. He's a learned man. He's a Levite. That is his place to teach that. He says, but I just can't seem to
get out a strong urge that this scripture means something else. Yes. Like a prophet, when he's speaking about himself, like he's speaking about somebody else. Because this is saying, and upon him was laid the iniquity of us all. He said, that sounds to me like the scapegoat. That they put all these sins of the people on the scapegoat and they're begged far away. He said, that seemed to have a prophetic connotation to it. He says, you know, I just can't seem to accept that. And he asked him, he said, understand what the readers? I wonder if sometimes people reading Revelation 10, if they understand what they're reading. I wonder if in Malachi 4:5, if they understand what they're reading. Even the reading in St. Luke 7:30, if they understand what they're reading. See? When they're reading Revelation 22, they understand what they're reading. Was it something way back there, or is it something to come? Is it something that happened in this day? And look at Philip. Philip looked at the man right there and he asked him, he says, sir, you understand what the reason? How can I except some man don't show me? This man didn't maybe alert his bodyguard. Maybe bodyguards and them might have tried to move quickly and he says, no, there's something about this man. Leave him alone. The way he speaks, like he. You see, when God is working, he works on both ends, you know. You work on both ends. And that man come right there. And when he came there, Philip began to speak to him and baptize, and he preached unto him Christ. Preached unto him Jesus out of that scripture. But nowhere you could find J-E-S-U-S in that scripture.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
So where does it come to say, where the man name? And Philip began to show him who that lamb was. He was led like a lamb dumb before his shearers. And he opened up his mouth. And Philip began to show him where everything was fulfilled. And Philip began to show him who that person was. And he identified even the man named to him. And this man had only heard that man was a prophet of Nazareth who broke up many churches, which was given a bad name by denomination. And that man didn't say, you take me for a fool or what? You are more revelation than the big priest up there? Where you learn this? Philip said, well, sir, I never went to no school to learn this. He said, but we see this. That was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit come back to us. He said, and furthermore, God didn't say you had to go to a school to learn that. He said, when they come to Babylon, they went in there with a priesthood, they went in there with the law, right? And then they went in there with the ark and so on, and then when they came back out with it, he said they came back out with the Talmud, they came back out with a whole seminary full of rabbis, and all the different things. He said, that's where them things started. Bible school, you see. Sometimes you have to go back and show a person. See? They belong to a denomination. They don't know who the founder of the denomination is. And then when you take them back and show them who their founder was and what their founder taught, when they build that organization, they teach that founder, the denomination today is so far from the original teaching of the founder. But it's either one thing, either the founder was wrong, or either the denomination is wrong. If the founder is wrong, they build on a wrong foundation. And if the founder is right, then they're going away from the old teaching of the founder, they need to come back to it.
Amen.
Which one of these Pentecostals today could say that they like the original Pentecostals? Look at back in Wesley days. They believed somebody couldn't be saved if they were wearing a wedding band. They get unsanctified. They had to believe holiness. You couldn't wear no short sleeve or no armless and all these different things. Much more wear pants or something. But they had high collars and long sleeves. Look at the Methodists. Today, drinking and smoking and all these things. When John Wesley was without holiness, no man shall see God. Look at them Lutherans today. When Martin Luther VII protested the Catholic Church, today they're coming right back for fellowship. Even with the compromise and
the communion and all these things, which is the very mark that true down the church of days of the body and blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen.
But people become part of a system and they never really look to see what they believe, what they're in.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. If you sit inside this place, you know what we believe inside of here.
Amen.
You gotta find out what you believe. And you check it with the word. Don't say him to your friend in here. That ain't gonna help you.
Amen.
A friend might be good, a friend could bring you to meet Jesus, but then meet Jesus when you come.
Amen.
But Philip, meet the Jews and he come and tell Andrew and Philip and Andrew, bring them to Jesus. Yes. And when they come to Jesus, you just point them to a corner for going and die to abide alone.
Yes. Amen.
That's right. Amen?
Amen.
Sure it is.
Amen.
Does that sound like the Bible?
Amen.
Sure it's the Bible.
Amen.
See. That's why you see a church need to know what it's teaching. People need to know what they establish upon. Because when these things come, it's not good service. And I like that service, but I didn't like that one, but I didn't get it. No, it's not that. Get away from that thing.
Amen.
I had somebody in my mind the other day, it was coming to me, you know, I should shake that, wave that to the people. Because sometimes people come in, you know, ooh, you hear oohs and ahs, and ooh, and that's nice, and then this, and then little societies, and then they realize we're following a message. We're running for our life.
Amen.
The end is here.
Right.
But in a total separation. Amen. God has spoken, thus said the Lord by a prophet.
Amen.
We have been called back to the word.
Amen.
We have to be zealous and repent. Amen.
Amen.
We have to get eye salve, white raiment, and gold tried in the fire. And other people come in, they bring the friend, they bring this one, they bring that one. They sit and they talk and they laugh and they kind of like a service and they hear that. And, you know, it's a little entertaining, but they don't really come to realize it's a message.
Amen.
It's the voice of God in these last days. God has spoken as he promised he would.
Amen.
Come out of all my people and be not partake of our plagues.
Amen.
Behold, a bridegroom cometh. Call you out to meet him.
Amen.
Amen. It's an entire message.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And when we sit here in the presence of God, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and he begins to reveal the word and open up the mysteries that has already been given and stored up. It's just the grace of God that we have something to eat in a time of famine. Because God, knowing the famine was coming, he knows he's going to give us food and open up just what we have need of to give faith sufficient for the hour.
Amen.
When the callers begin to come in and get called, and iniquity begin to abound, and the love of men begin to wax cold, and people begin to have a form of godliness, and all kind of, you know, intellectual things, spirits begin to move and take over, and people's faith begin to waver, and they begin to get all learned and can't come to the knowledge of the truth. Nice, refined, cultured people, but the Bible says what? 2 Timothy 3, reprobates concerning the faith. Not reprobates in living. Not reprobates in culture. Nice, refined, cultured, modern people. But concerning the faith, and there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And that original faith, many are reprobates.
Yeah.
And I was saying Sunday, you hear people talking about false prophets in the last days, they get scared about false prophets and boy. And like you always ask people, you know, you ever see a $19 bill yet? You never see one. You never see one. They don't have a genuine $19 bill. If a man walk in his and say, change the $19 bill for me fast. I'm trying to pay, change it. Look, I'm a tax suit to me. Do fast now. Change the $19 bill quick. You know that is some crook who would have no sense.
Amen.
Because when somebody wants to deceive, they impersonate the original. You get that? God always moves first. Where did the original word came from? The Garden of Eden. God gave it. Then when Satan came, he perverted what God said. He says, is that what God said? That you shall not surely die? You shall surely die? He said, I don't think you hear that right. God's a God of love. You forget that word. You all are God's children. After all, which father would kill his own children? See? He's something all right, eh? And then she get right and get confused. She didn't disbelieve. She get confused on the word.
Yes, sir.
She get confused on the word. She didn't disbelieve. And maybe that way you get trapped. You look in your heart and say, well, I ain't disbelieving. You're confused. You don't have no discernment. So you get influenced the wrong way many times. See? And then look when God sent Moses. Moses came up there, a prophet of God. Is that right? And after Moses came and produced that sign, threw his rod down, who rose up? Jannes and Jambres. Did the Bible say in 2 Timothy 3, Jannes and Jambres, as they withstood Moses, so do these with corrupt minds in the last days?
Yes.
How many know 2 Timothy 3 says that?
Yes.
That in the last days we're going to have those same things. Look at the time of Elijah. Elijah appeared in the evening time in Israel, back in the book of Kings. The people had to turn away the false religion by Jezebel. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that the Bible?
Yes.
That killed the two prophets? That pagan thing was all throughout the land?
Yeah.
And God was our prophet to do what? Call the people back to the word.
Yeah.
Let's start a cult. Call them back to the word.
Yeah.
And Elijah came and to repair the altar, turned the people hard back. Is that right?
Yeah.
He did it.
Yeah.
Was he challenged?
Yeah.
Sure. Did it have other prophets in the land?
Yeah.
Was they contrary? Yeah, Zedekiah and 400 prophets. Elijah told him, the dog will lick your blood. They said, go on up, the Lord will bless you. Look at the Jeremiah. God sent Jeremiah with the word. He told Israel, Nebuchadnezzar is coming. You're going to take into Babylon 70 years. And when you're sleeping on the heart, I'll be fond of you and I'll bring you back here again. What? Some man find that prophet preaching too hard, boy?
Yeah.
He come up with a nice, gracey message. He said, don't bother with that. God's a God that loves you in 2 years. And he walk up to Jeremiah, take the yoke of Jeremiah, to pull a show in front of the people, and break it!
Yes.
Take that. Jeremiah, take it.
Walk away.
See? Walk away quiet as ever. And God didn't like that.
Amen.
God say, you go, and make one with iron. Tell them 70 years. Because the first time when the man came up and said 2 years, the Bible said, and Jeremiah said, amen, you know.
Amen.
And some of them get trouble and say, holy prophet, amen in that boy. See?
Yes, sir.
See, man, rise up. He didn't stop him and try to make a show and bring a big controversy. Go on up. The Lord didn't tell him no different. When he went back, in that same year, the Bible said that false prophet died.
Amen.
People went on there for 70 years. Remember Daniel in the 68th year reading the book of Jeremiah writings?
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Was that the inspired word?
Amen.
Is it wrong to read a prophet word?
Yes.
What did Joshua read? The 5 book of Moses?
Amen.
What did them early churches read? The books of Paul?
Amen.
Was it wrong when Paul tell them read this letter in the churches and then pass it on to the others?
Amen.
People say, oh, look, come on, let me know that man broken.
Yes.
See? You watch and see. You see, people don't check the word, you know.
Amen.
They jump up with a denominational spirit of fighting and don't even know what they're fighting.
Yeah.
Like God tells Saul, 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 why persecute thou me? Because in the way that you call heresy,
yeah,
that even after you turn around and say, in the way that I call heresy, so do I worship the God of my fathers now.
Amen.
Let me tell you, he wasn't ashamed to say he was wrong, you know. He wasn't ashamed to say, yeah, bona fide. He said, I come to all that dharma. Amen. 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 Sometimes you see some little stiff neck, some little stuffed shirt. See, some little seminary student, some little ambitious person. Boy, they want to get up there and challenge and challenge and talk. And then some other woman preacher with bob hair and a pain face. And challenge a prophet that does of the Lord that raised the dead over 8 times by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Around the wall.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Yes, that these 7 truckload of wheelchairs come to 1 meter, 1 prayer.
Yes, sir.
And some little pain faced woman get up the end and say, you know, I mean, women can't preach. Women have a right to preach. And then misquote the scripture or something. Some perverted spirit that can't stay in the place. Want to out-choke the preacher when the Bible says, get a meek and quiet spirit, which has great sight and price in the sight of God. See? So, brother, sometimes you see when those things rise up in the age that we're living in, it's such a crucial thing. And that's why, you know, as we just strike this quickly and maybe close, time is up. Because I want to take Father Tiger tonight as Satan beguile Eve, and I wouldn't be able to take it, so I just rush the time and close up. But you see, I want that to get across that we're following a message here. And these things that the Holy Spirit is bringing, that is not my stuff. God is just letting me see what's inside the word.
Amen.
Every mystery was finished in the days of the voice of the seventh angel.
Amen.
See? My consolation is that's the word of the Lord.
Amen.
In the Bible. See? And then they see the Spirit of God in operation. Comes in this scene and reveals the word just when these things is happening.
Amen.
Look at that, June the 3rd, the greatest conference ever held.
Amen.
See? And they're coming from all around the globe to meet in Rio right there. And I remember a few years ago down in Rio, when I went there, came out and told says, hell created on the earth. And see that down there, the filth and the pollution inside of Rio. And then my brother Kenny was telling me, he says, you know, just after the preaching Sunday mornings, I opened the papers on Monday, and there it was the Pope appealing to the nations, you know, to really pray for the summit and with the environment, all what they're doing here and trying to save the planet and thinking about the future generations. Let me tell you, it's all serpent seed. Is the greatest concentration of devil power on the planet at this present time.
Yeah.
In one location.
That's right.
Something
Amen.
Is happening.
That's right.
And you watch and see when all them devil powers get together there and rubbing shoulders and coming from all different sections, see, of this Eden, coming from all different institutions and coming, but all branches off of that same tree.
Amen.
All is part of that false vine. And they're having the greatest conference ever. God could have a conference here.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. It might look ordinary, but it's a conference.
Amen.
That God can come to his word.
Amen.
Not just preach anything. Show from the Bible to the hour, to the place, what is happening. What do you think is bringing this new world order that they're talking about? But God is talking about a new world order too. Amen.
Amen.
Just at this time here, when it's coming to such a place where Lucifer is going to be enthroned soon.
Yeah.
He is working, uniting his powers together. Religion, politics, demon powers, they're all the air right now.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. I don't know what Janeiro means. I know Rio is river. All them demons down there. See? But brother, you watch and see in that filthy place. And that, you see down there is where the Amazon is.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest rivers in the world, and that's where the Amazon is the biggest portion of the tropical rainforest. And that's the right place to choose to have the biggest summit to deal with the environment. You see? Let me tell you, they choose these places. And then all these developing nations who are being put down as being guilty for deforestation, clearing all the forests and, you know, and doing all the things and, you know, burning up all the, you know, these fossil fuels and all these different things. They are being, you know, put down for all the lax environmental laws that they are the ones to blame. And then they are claiming that the richer nations is the one who throw the most garbage and the most toxic waste and then using the lands and the lax environmental laws to pollute the countries. And that they use up most of the world resources and at least they should help the poor nations if they're thinking on saving the planet. Because why they should tell them, you know, we can't do this, and then they're living and but of what the trinity people can get to eat. So everybody trying to hug the limelight in this big conference here to put out their views because that's where they fought, they mentioned as well, the television cameras is going to focus. And then from there, all the great thoughts and the ideologies of all the biggest intellectual people in the world will be expressed concerning the future of the planet and the new world order coming in. And how all the nations that are there will be able to work in harmony to bring a better world. Now, why would people spend all their energy to do that when the next thing for this world is a baptism of fire? When God is coming to take the bride out, so under the sixth seal, he could bring a new birth to this planet and turn it heavenly and bring a new world order. Then all of that is vain. But they are doing all of that because they wouldn't come and sit down and listen to something like this. Because nothing the schools are learning. It's not off of that tree. It's too stupid for them to listen to. It's too ordinary. Yet is the infallible truth of God. No man could save a man and no man could save the earth. God saved the man and God saved the earth. And God have a plan to save the man and save the earth. Amen. And the earth that they're trying to save, they have no claims on it. This is an inheritance that is given for sons of God. They are the squatters on the inheritance. Their name not in the title deed. Is that right? How many understand Jeremiah 32? When they bought the piece of land, when they write the title deed, they signed the presence of witnesses. They describe the boundaries of the territory. They put it in an earthen vessel and they seal it up. That when the people come back from captivity in the time of Jubilee, they can go and take that scroll out of that vessel. Amen. And they can lay claims to everything that is described on that deed. Amen. And when God gave the earth to Adam, Adam was God from sea to sea and shot the shore. Amen. 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 Glory. But they are claiming it. They are trying to save it. And it's just all lies. They are trying to profess to have ability that they don't have. They're trying to profess to have knowledge that they know nothing about. But that's just how the God of this world blind the minds of the people and make them feel is a better world coming. And surely out of that summit, you know, the leaders will get together and all the think tank, you know, put up all the great bigger philosophical ideas and all these different things, and they're going to come up with something the Bible couldn't tell us. God forbid.
Amen.
God will make the wisdom of man foolishness. Amen.
Amen.
And right in simplicity. Not only the, if you have any little spiritual and sacrifice clothes, you just meditate on them scriptures I pick up Sunday. Paul delivered the church, and the church was having the same kind of experience.
like Eve had. The church here was eating from that tree and was going to that tree and getting under the spell and being hypnotized to take from that tree and eat. See? And Paul says, just as Eve had eaten from that tree, and the day she ate, she died. He says, so I fear that you all hearing a perverted gospel. The serpent didn't bring another gospel. He take the same word what God spoke and just pervert it. He said, not another gospel, just perverted. He was bringing a different revelation than that was already given. And the church was going to die the same way and would not be able to come back to the tree of life until the last days. After she ate and forfeited the tree of life, for the tree of death right there. I'm going to pick it up for you Sunday and show the church today, the people that make up that church, the very fruit of their very own lives, what they call life is really death. See? Back in the first age, before they eat from that tree, Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. Today they own banks, they own stores, they own oil wells, they own a plant, this company, they own motor car plants, they own all the different things. Real estate, all kinds of different things. The Bible says they're rich and increased with goods. But he said they have a form of godliness, but deny their power thereof. They are dead as ever. Because that life that they had before they ate left them. That image of that left them. When that bride forfeited her virtue to Christ, to the word, and to pray. When a church is a woman that is giving them three sacred virtues, like any woman has. Sacred womanhood, how she behave around men. Sacred motherhood, how she raise her children. And the sacred bed and ground. If she receive any other seed than her husband owns, she becomes defiled. That's why she veils herself when she comes to her husband. That's why she takes her husband's name when she's married. That's why she wears a wedding band as a sign that she belongs to one man only. She's a married woman. And when a church comes away from that and crosses the boundary and go into an illegal union, that's the time she died. And you watch and see when you pick it up how Balaam came in to Israel and did the same thing to Israel that Satan did to Eve. And these people came in the church and did the same thing to the church that Balaam did to Israel and the serpent did to Eve. What he did, he brought them into false union. And when he brought them into false union, he hybrided them. And when he hybrided them, he destroyed the originality. And when the originality was destroyed, they couldn't come back to true life again. Could the Pentecostal church come back? It can never come back. Could the Methodist church come back? It can never come back. Could the Baptist church come back? It can never come back. It's all going to lake of fire.
Amen.
Very serious, right? When we look at that word, and we see the hour that we are living in, and we see what is happening, how we want to know what God has done, and be thankful and be willing to walk in the light when God would reveal the light. You may not understand everything, and you want to discuss it. You want a little explanation on the scriptures. You want somebody to teach you a little more perfectly. Then sure, there are those that have been taught, like Aquila and Priscilla, that could teach you more perfectly. Did the Bible say that? Apollos was a learned man, mighty in the scriptures and eloquent, and taught the scriptures since he was small, and proving that Jesus was the Christ by the Old Testament, knowing only the baptism of John. He did not know the Holy Ghost. Yet the whole ministry of Jesus was the Holy Spirit. Then Aquila and Priscilla taught him the word of God more perfectly. So not that you're wrong sometimes, but you need to be taught a little more perfectly. See? When Paul saw them, he said, unto what then were you baptized? Son of John baptism. said, pretty good, but you need to be baptized over. Did he rebaptize them?
Amen.
Did they get the Holy Ghost?
Yes,
amen, sure did. See, it's in the Bible. Every problem, every situation that we are going through is right in this book. We underestimate the book many times because we still think it's a man's book. It's a good book. We just some few inspired men come together and put the thoughts together. Uh-uh. It's the infallible word of Almighty God. It's God in printed form. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of this word shall in any wise fail. Hide it in your heart, friend, and you will not sin against him. Be washed in it. I gotta wash you clean from every denominational filth and dress you and bring you out where you can be presented without spot nor blemish to the Lamb, to the Word Himself. Amen. Let's all stand.
When he reached long his hand for me,
once my soul was astray from the heavenly way. Amen. Let's worship a little bit before we leave. You appreciate him tonight? You're not a Christian. You want to be a Christian. You're not baptized in true Christian baptism. Sunday morning, we have Christian baptism, water baptism. That's the most we can do as a human being. But there's one standing among us who could baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire after being correctly baptized in water, according to Acts 2:38. God keeps his word. He watches over it. He keeps all his promises. Let's give honor to his word. Let's have faith in his word. We all can make mistakes, but he would not make any. Let's put ourselves in his hands. Let him lead us. Let him guide us. It'll make all the difference, friend. You'll realize that life is truly worthwhile living. Amen. Once my soul
are above in me, joy and love.
Oh, when he reached down his hand,
down his hand.
Oh, when he reached down his hand for me.
Down his hand.
Oh, he's reaching down tonight. His hand is not too short.
When he reached,
oh, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who had believed our report? I was lost and undone. Did you could remember that time I was near in despair when he came to me dear? Oh, he's as plain as ever to me tonight. That day when he reached out his hand for me. Hallelujah, up in Santa Cruz when he came to me dear. And he showed me as he's showing you tonight that I could be free. When he reached down.
thank you, Jesus. How we love you and appreciate you for that, Lord. Amen. We praise you. We give you glory tonight. Oh, my, aren't you happy tonight? How my heart does rejoice. Since I made him my choice, make him your choice if you haven't tonight. You are a free moral agent. Those two trees are set before you tonight. Choose this day whom you will serve. Don't hold between two opinions. If God be God, serve him.
From the depths, pass to him.
Oh, now I flee. Down his hand. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, God. We praise you tonight. Hallelujah.
Shoulders and burn back to his hole.
Since the Lord gave me peace, settled peace, peace that passeth all understanding, rest, an anchor to our soul, an absolute that we can be tied to. Oh Lord, I give all my life unreservedly tonight. Lay down my head, my feet, my inward, my side. Hallelujah. Oh, guide my feet, Lord. Hold my hand tonight. Oh, never let me go astray. Grant me thee. Stand. For you reached on your hand, Savior. Oh, could we lift our hands and sing when you reached on your hand? Oh, I'd be ever so grateful. Hallelujah.
When he reached
that precious day's God hand. Hallelujah. The arm of the Lord is revealed to us.
Die.
privilege of praising with a heart full of thankfulness for what he has done in our lives, what it cost him to do that for us, but how he loved us. He loved not his own self even unto death. He took our place. He became sin, so we can become the very righteousness of God. He came up to the lowest of hell, came to the lowest city. Even the shortest man in the lowest city on earth was looking down upon him. He went so low, then he went down to the depths of hell. But God lifted him up, raised him up far above all principality and power, raised him up far above all heavens, that now he has to look down at the heaven. Oh, and gave him a name above every name, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name, Father. We praise you. We exalt you. We give you glory. How great thou art. Oh, we thank you tonight, Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Thank you for that grace. Thank you for that marvelous grace. Oh, God. Thank you for the divine revealed mystery truth. Oh, God, the eyes have to anoint our eyes, that we who were lost couldn't find our way. Lord God, you brought us out. You are our guide tonight. You lead us out of this wilderness. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you and praise you tonight, Father. Blessed be your name. Glory be to God in the highest. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. Hallelujah. Never be the same again. From the moment I met Jesus, new life in me begin. No, I won't be the same, never the same. Never the same again, Lord. Oh, God, you make us a new creation. All things are passed away and all things have become new. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that never the same again. Amen. From the moment I met Jesus.
Never the same again.
Oh, confess tonight. Let the devil know it. You ain't no halfway believer. You're a real believer. You ain't turning back.
I met Jesus. New life for me began. I won't be the same.
Oh, if you really mean that, sing it again. Sing it from your heart.
Never the same again.
Amen.
I won't be the same again. The moment I met Jesus, new life for me began.
Oh, that's my confession. Amen. Never. No matter what the devil may try. If the sisters believe that, confess it tonight in song. You're going to be a real daughter of God. Amen. You're going to dress right, live right, act right. Amen. You're going to cope with every word that God has spoken. You're not ashamed of this gospel. Real virtuous ladies. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to keep all your virtues sacred. Oh, what about the brothers? Sing it. Real sons of God in this hour.
Same again.
We ain't going back to them parties. We ain't going back to that dance hall, brothers. We ain't going back to that cinema. We ain't going back to them gambling dens, back to them denominations. Amen. Chasing all these dress tails. Amen. Be a real man, a real son of God in this hour. With character like God, image. In God's image and God likeness. Amen. Let us all sing it. inside of us one more time. Never the same again. We ain't turning back tonight. We come to start our faith. That song could never the same again. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. How we thank you. How we give you honor and glory tonight. We love you and appreciate you. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to invite Brother Luke Ambrose to come and pray the dismissal prayer tonight. And you, if you are not a Christian, you want to receive the Lord Jesus. You want to be baptized on Sunday morning. You wait after this service. Speak to one of the ushers by the door. And someone can speak with you and tell you more about this lovely Lord Jesus. This precious truth. We truly can be part of this great ransom church. I've been saved to sin no more. A true brightness without spot, without wrinkle. Call away from all denominations back to the fullness of the word. That we can live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Lord, Father, we come to the end of another service, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace, Lord. Your love towards us, Father. Lord, that your word could come forth, Lord, with such reality, Lord Jesus. Father, that, oh God, it could strike our hearts so that we could know, Lord, what is taking place in this day. Lord, we praise your holy name. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. We give you honor, Lord Jesus. Father, we magnify your name, Lord, for your love expressed to us, Lord. All praise and glory unto your name, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, Father. Oh, God, that you could break the bread, Father, and reveal these things to us, Lord Jesus, that we could know how to walk in this day, Father. Lord, we thank you for your great Holy Spirit that's been among us tonight, Lord. Oh, God, Father, we appreciate that, Lord Jesus, knowing, oh, God, that in a time of famine, Lord, we can have, oh God, the fresh word, Lord Jesus, coming forth, that we can live by it, Lord Jesus. Father, we want to give you all the praise, Lord, all the thanks, the glory, the honor, that you so rightly and richly
thank
you, Father.
Bless
oh God, that you can take time, oh Father, to come and speak to our little nobodies like us, Lord, that you can come down, Father. People, oh God, you take up from the wayside and bring to this truth, Lord. Oh God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory and honor, Lord Jesus. Father, we bless your holy name, Father. We uplift you and glorify you. Oh, thanks and praise and honor.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be your holy name, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory and thanks, Father.
Thank you,
Lord. God, we thank you for this service, Lord. Father, as we're about to depart from the building, oh God, and not from your presence, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would go with us, Lord. Keep us, oh God, under the inspiration, Father, of the word, Lord. And we could go forth, Lord, and be a real witness, Lord, a testimony this day, Father. Knowing, oh God, that you have placed the word of life in our hearts, Father. Lord God, may you go with us, Lord. May you give us traveling mercies, Lord Jesus. May you, oh God, strengthen your servant, Lord, as I stand in the pulpit, Lord, and bring forth the words, Father. Lord, may you bless your people again, for we commit all things into your hands for the honor and glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may have a seat. We should want to remind you of the baptismal service and Sunday, if you want to be sure whether you'd be being baptized or what have you done, you can wait back after service. I'm going to speak to you. Amen. We have our sister here, Florence Jacob. You're the sister who always comes around here ever so often?
from when last time, first time in this building, right? I was warned in, you know, because she is really from Trinidad, but she lives in Wanda, Africa. And for many years now, and she came to the Lord, and over there, I believe, and every time she comes on vacation here, she always comes and visit us. Really glad to have her with us while she is here. Amen. Amen. As we go, let's sing this dismissal song. We are traveling on the right road. There's one way to the city of God. Amen. We are traveling on. There is one way to the city. We are traveling on. Oh, if you believe that, sing it. It's a straight and narrow way, but we are traveling on that road, following them bloody footprints all the way. God bless you. We are dismissed.
God, we are traveling on the traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on the right. We are traveling on the right road. Traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on, traveling, traveling, traveling on the right road. Traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. Traveling on the road. We are traveling on the right road. Traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on the right. Traveling, traveling, traveling on the right road. Traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. There is one way. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. Traveling on the right road. There is one way. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling. We are traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God. We are traveling on the right road. We are traveling on the right road. Traveling on the right road. There is one way to the city of God, traveling on the right road, traveling on the right road, traveling, traveling. There is one way
Jesus. Let us sing that song. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Just sing that song as we leave.